I enjoy all the different aspects of music and performance, and it's always changing for me. So I don't think about whether I enjoy what I used to enjoy in the same way. I just really embrace what I'm into. Right now, I seem to be more into Maria Callas and Bach than rock and roll, but it's music. It's all music, and I'm learning from it, and I feel deeply satisfied with it. And in terms of performance, I feel stronger than ever. So I guess I'm pretty lucky. I feel pretty good on all fronts.
Yeah. How is the Bach and the Callas affecting, or is it even affecting, the music that you're writing?
Well, it affects some of my ideas about discipline. It affects how I hear. It affects. Also, I listen to music to write. Often, still one of my favorite things to write to is Jimi Hendrix, "Mermaids Turn the Tide," 1985, because it's both intelligent, ambient, but it isn't mindlessly ambient. He has some real things that he's pursuing, both poetic and concerns about our world. And so when I listen to the music, when I listen to music, I like to listen both to the music and to the mind of the maker. And it's very interesting listening to a Bach mass, because one not only has the pleasure of the music, but one is moving into the mind of Bach. Maria Callas I like to listen to because she was not just a great singer, but a great performer, and I learned something about, performance and bridging both technical ability and emotion in one's performance. So I'm learning as well as being transported.
Right. The interesting thing about the difference between popular music and what we're talking about now, in our era, and as long as any of us can remember, we've been living in an era of a cult of personality and a cult of personal expression where the artist is tied to the music. But when you talk about getting into the mind of Bach, well, we've never heard Bach perform his music. We've heard interpretations of it. And how do you think your music, for instance, is so tied to your personality? 100 years from now, when someone's revisiting it, are they going to be able to get into your mind in the same way you're trying to get into Bach's mind now?
Well, I think that they can get for someone like me. I have so many ideas within my music, within the lyrics, and it's also attached to, I have a whole body of holistic body of work. I write poetry, I do drawings and paintings, and I'm exploring and searching for always searching for illumination or usually. My songs or my lyrics have are reflections of my studies. I also have written many love songs, but on the whole, my songs reflect my studies. So 100 years from now, could still listen to the songs and maybe enter Vietnam or ideas about communication. Or the life of Ho Chi Minh, whatever my studies are about. So, I would hope that I would have something to offer beyond my personality. The cult of personality I found less and less interesting. Of course, I loved the people that I loved, from Lotta Lenya to Dylan to Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison. But the thing is, what I really loved in the end is their work. Jimi Hendrix was a great-looking guy and one of the great performers, but his work stands, and I think in the end that's what one hopes for, that their work will stand, beyond their image or their sexuality and things like that. So I guess I have hopes that my work will stand.
You just named a whole bunch of people that will become the canon of of early rock and roll. I've heard many cynics say and continue to say that the era of the great rock star, of the Jimi Hendrix of the world, that era is over, that it's too mainstream, it's too whitewashed now. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, each generation translates for itself. You know, it's like saying, oh, the great painters are over because the Renaissance had three greats at one time. It was like they had Da Vinci, Raphael, and Michelangelo at the same time, just like we had, you know, Hendrix, you know, Joplin and Jim Morrison. I mean, it's, you have these little pockets of time, you know, where a few people really stand out, but, you know, new individuals will always rise up. People will always have new ideas. And I think that a certain amount of innocence has to be reclaimed, and we might not see it for some decades, or I don't know if I'll see it in my time, but all it takes is just one person, one pure person, you know, one person that loves the work more than themselves, or, you know, is like, wants to contribute, you know, revolutionary ideas or poetry or new ways of looking at music, and is interested in their contribution more than fame and fortune. And when that person rises, we'll know about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. And the new golden age will begin that 50 years from now people can complain about it being over.
Well, instead of complaining about it being over, I think we should delight that it ever was.
Right. Let me focus just briefly on your early work and on the change. And I'm looking for the right word here. I don't think mellowed is the right word, but your work matured steadily over the years. And this is not a parallel, but in my mind, I'm thinking of a similar situation happened with Elvis Costello. He got very mature. He got very proficient. He really got, maybe for a lot of his fans, overly intellectual, and he lost a lot of them. When you talk about how Bach is impacting your work, I wonder what that does to people who still think Horses is their favorite album ever.
Well,
and that probably just sends chills through them to hear that.
No, well, I would be very, you know, deluding myself if anyone thought that I was saying that Bach impacted my musical or performance contribution. It more impacts the way that I'm thinking or meditating. I can't say that one would read that into my work. I can't comment on Elvis Costello because I never listened to him. But for myself, I'm evolving as a human being, but I always think it's funny when people say, you know, use the term mellowed, or, I mean, maturing is probably a good idea, but in performance, like on my last tour, I have never felt stronger and had more contained rage within a performance than ever in my life. And it comes from, you know, my reaction to our world situation. A lot of the work that I do is in reaction to what's happening in the world, what I'm channeling from the world, what I'm channeling from the people. And I don't think anybody has to worry about me over intellectualizing anything. I just do the work that I do. I'm not a person that really... I'm not a calculating person. Right. I just do what I do. I like to study. I mean, when I did Horses, you know, a lot of it reflected my sorrow. A lot of Horses reflected both my readings of William Burroughs and my sorrow of Jimi Hendrix and Jim Morrison dying. That's all in Horses. In Radio Ethiopia, a lot of it has to do with, you know, my exploring the sonic aspects of rock and roll, the electric guitar, and you know, and my battle with language. I mean, each record, you know, has a lot to do with both what I'm studying, you know, or exploring spiritually or globally. And you know, in that way, I haven't really changed. I still have the same process. It just depends when I'm studying.
Well, it stands to reason that over any period of time, an artist is going to Because there's nothing worse than an artist that does the same thing for 10 years. There's nothing more boring than that.
Well,
for the listener, speaking as a listener, there's nothing worse than someone that has nothing new to learn.
Well, I don't have any desire to. First of all, I would probably die if I wasn't able to keep learning, because that's one of the great joys of life. Yeah. is study and evolution. And I don't really have any desire to repeat myself, because the world is so materialistic. There's so much crap out there. There's such a glut. And if I don't feel like I can contribute anything, I won't. Hopefully I would never just like pile more mundanity into the world.
About words, because when I think about rock songwriters that have a way with words, I think it's fascinating to think about the way in which words and music interact, and how in many cases a great song works well on paper without music. Can you talk about that for a minute, how that works for you?
Well, writing lyrics has always been, I think of anything I do, it's the hardest thing. It doesn't come natural to me. I'm somebody like Smokey Robinson, who's a real master, is a real master of lyric writing. Somebody like Bob Dylan, writing lyrics has always been a great struggle. And sometimes it'll take me, a year of contemplation before I'll write the lyrics to a song, or one song will move from record to record because I haven't completed the lyrics. And I'm not much one. I do write in my notebook all the time, but the way I most like writing lyrics is improvising with my band. I like if we're practicing and a band member comes up with a riff, or we're jamming, to improvise with the band, usually about something I'm thinking about. It could be something I read in the Bible, something I'm angry about. It could be the environment. And I'll just start riffing with the band, and that's always been my most successful way of writing lyrics. I would think probably some of the best lyrics I've written are live on stage, because we improvise a lot on stage, certain types of songs, and they go with the air. But I've that's basically how I like to write. I never really wanted to publish my song lyrics, because I wasn't sure they were good enough that they stood, by themselves. But I got so much requests from people, and and there were so many like pirated versions that were all wrong. I finally did put them together and put them out. And actually, when I put them out as a body of work, I found myself feeling that they seemed all right. Mm-hmm. I felt somewhat proud of them. I was worried about that, but they seemed to stand.
Do you write much poetry that doesn't end up in a song? Do you write poetry just for the sake of writing it?
Yeah, I write poetry all the time. I haven't published any poetry in some years, just because writing poetry is it's such a heightened thing and takes so much concentration. And in putting out like a book of poetry or something, I have to really spend like a year not doing anything else. But I write all of the time.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's just the opposite of what you were talking about, the improvisational style that works for you, which is very seat of the pants. The muse kicks it out of my mouth and I say it, as opposed to poetry, which is so deliberate and so painstaking. Each syllable's got to be in the right place.
Well, I labor over my poetry. I mean, it comes out really fast sometimes, but I labor over it in the end, and I guess I tend to be real self-critical. But I write in all different manners. It's just, like I said, it's usually my best lyrics seem to happen, in context with the band.
Is there any popular music today that you think is just great, that you think will stand the test of time, whatever that means?
Well, I can't say that I've been swept away by anything. I mean, I also didn't listen to a lot of music in the 80s because I was deeply involved in other kind of studies. So I'm still catching up on the 80s, but because I really like discovered like My Bloody Valentine. Really loved that group. I really like Nirvana. I really like REM. I really like Michael Stipe is a good friend of mine, but independent of our friendship, I love his lyrics. I think he's actually a great lyricist and a really good writer. And I like REM. But, I'm not going to put down music that people are doing now because that's not right. You know, it's not my place.
Yeah.
I like, you know, saw rock and roll. When I was five or six, Little Richard was out. You know, he was just there. You know, I pretty much saw the birth and the evolution of rock and roll in my lifetime. And the period that I most loved is still the period I most love. And, in that way, it's like my mom, you know, like when I was a kid, she couldn't get over Artie Shaw and Benny Goodman. She
right.
stopped moving, you know, and right. perhaps I'm guilty of the same thing, but I've sort of still love the people that I love. And I like to listen to people like to listen to Robert Johnson. I really love Charlie Patton. You know, I'll sit and listen to Charlie Patton for hours, you know, and I listened to a lot of John Coltrane and a lot of opera, you know. So I'm pretty happy with the music I listen to, and I'm not the experimental type. You know, I'm not the kind of person, I never was, that will go and when I was younger, I never had the money, you know. I didn't have the money to go and, like, buy 6 or 7 records and see what I liked. You had to save up, you know, when I was a teenager in my early 20s, you saved up your money to go buy Blonde on Blonde, or you saved up your money to buy a record. You didn't go and buy 10 CDs, you bought a record. So,
and you certainly didn't download anything.
No.
has that affected you at all? Do you have a lot of musicians have strong opinions about this? Do you have a feeling one way or the other?
Well, you know, I don't even have a computer, you know. I have mixed feelings about, you know, the internet, you know, because there's so much crime and misuse of it, but I don't know, it doesn't really bother me. I mean, I don't sell enough records, really. For me, if I sold as much records as the people that complain about it, I'd never complain.
Yeah.
And I don't sell enough records anyway, but I still wouldn't complain. I mean, if people can't afford to buy my records or they can't find them, it doesn't bother me. You know, I figure for my records, I work really hard on the packaging. I really labor over every aspect, even the typeface, you know, everything. This last package, Land, I spent like a year working on it. Mm-hmm. And so people have something special because I'm well aware that people can put together their own records.
Right.
So I try to give them something special. So for those people that want to buy it, that's really great. And for people that download stuff, well, that's okay. It's the times we're living in. You know, I would rather them sitting around downloading my records than downloading like child pornography or something.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, I don't have a complaint with it.
Yeah. And just for the record, Land is a beautiful package. It's a very pleasing package. I really mean that. And this is a big question. It's a big, pretentious question. But I'm really curious. What are you most proud of from your career?
In the work I do within...
Period. Just what, when you look back, what's the thing you want to be remembered for? What are you the most proud of?
Well, I guess I'm just, you know, I'm proud to have a body of work that, you know, that represents really the best that I knew how to do. I never did anything ever in my life, to make money, or I never made a decision to change something to placate somebody or to keep myself out of trouble. I'm just, I don't know. It's kind of hard to say, because when you ask, what am I proud of? You know, I have really two great kids, you know.
Well, that's,
I'm really proud
of
them.
That's the answer right there, isn't
and
it?
I guess really when it comes down to it, I'm pretty lucky, you know. I have everything at this time of my life, and I look at, you know, the leaves of my life, which has experienced, I've experienced a lot of tough times and personal tragedy. But when I look at everything, and I look at the work, and I've had a really great life, and I'm still having a great life, and I have two really great kids who represent their late father beautifully, and I'm happy with my work, and I'm really happy with my, you know, my mind, you know, that my mind is clear. I've taken good care of myself. I never abused myself with, you know, substances so that I'm fragmented. I have a real clear mind, and there's so much to learn, so many great books and music and nature, and, you know, we have a lot to live for, and especially now more than ever when things are, there's so much strife in the world and people seem so dissatisfied and are so economic and power driven. More than ever, it's a time to stand back and look at the, you know, the simple, beautiful things that we've been given.